So I'm joined today by the creative minds behind the newest horror film, The House is October Built, Bobby Rowe and Zach Andrews. Guys, thanks for coming on. So I have to ask you, you took the concept of hunting for the most extreme haunted houses and used it as an idea for a new documentary-style horror film. So which one of you is responsible for me never going into another haunted house again? Because we got to talk.
I guess, fortunately or unfortunately, both of us, you know, we had this idea of setting a film in this world. And then, you know, we really, it was about shooting a movie at a, you know, in a place that really hadn't been explored, but also, you know, making a Halloween movie. There's, if you really think about it, there are a lot of horror movies that you watch over the Halloween holiday, but there aren't really that many movies that explore the actual holiday, and there's even less, if any, that talk about haunted houses that aren't the paranormal kind, actually, where you know, you pay your $10 and you go in and go on that ride, that scare that's actually real.
Yeah, so the story follows a group of five friends who rent an RV and embark on this road trip. So for both of you, was it an easy decision to star in the film, and how did the rest of the cast fall into place?
We actually, you know, we knew we were going to be in it from the standpoint of driving the story. You know, a lot of the times we didn't want everybody to know exactly what was going to happen, so things could happen organically. And Bobby even had a system where, you know, Brandy had some questions memorized, and he would tap her on the left shoulder if he wanted her to ask that certain question, the right shoulder for a certain question, because we were trying to steer a lot of these people to give us what we needed in order to drive the story, but also keep it authentic. And some of the things that these people said, Bobby stopped having to tap Brandy because they were saying things way more than we could have imagined.
Interesting. So when you guys were doing the research on the film, was there a particular aspect of the haunted house that scared you the most?
I don't think it was as much about scares. I think a lot of these haunts thematically are a lot of them are the same. So what we tried to do is find some haunts that took, even if it's not the scariest approach, it's maybe the most creative. That's what we really enjoyed. Like when we went to Rise and did the zombie paintball, that kind of thing is like it's a kid's dream, and for somebody to kind of put that together, and I see more and more of them popping up actually this year. But we just wanted to take an approach where somebody took the normal scares and kind of put it on its head, you know, still in the Halloween spirit. So that's kind of how we narrow things down.
How many haunts did you guys ultimately wind up visiting for this film?
We probably saw between 15 and 20, but then it was just a matter of, you know, that would be a little bit redundant if we made you guys watch us go through 15 haunts. So we didn't want it to be episodic, and so we tried to find places that did have different themes. If it's zombie paintball, or if it's a place that just focuses on vampires, or just focuses on zombies, or you know, the zombie strip club, and tried to mix it up that way. So ultimately, in the movie, it didn't feel like you're doing the same thing over and over and over.
So, did you guys take any hints from other documentary-style horror films from the past and decide what not to do when telling your story to keep it fresh and original?
What not to do? Yeah, there's a lot of movies that influenced us, but what not to do is probably a laundry list. And I think the biggest thing was, we wanted to make sure that the cast had the right chemistry. We wanted to make sure that everybody kind of just had that natural feel, and that's what was important to us, because in so many of these found footage movies, you smell the acting a mile away, and that takes you out of it. That ruins the whole the idea that found footage was founded on. So what we did is that's why we casted my brother. He was hosting two Travel Channel shows at the time. He was used to that pace, and exactly what he was doing. We just lucked out that we had the opportunity that he was in between shooting the shows. We were able to use him. And really what was important to us as well was a girl that kind of didn't fall under the stereotypical horror, blonde, big-titted bombshell who ends up being annoying by the end. Hopefully Brandy gave a little bit of, I mean, she's a very beautiful girl, but also very disarming and very charming and able to get along with both guys and girls. And I thought that was important because so many horror movies, that's not who you get as your heroine. So hopefully she is somebody the audience will kind of enjoy going on the ride with.
And then I think it was good that, you know, Jeff's character was kind of this, you know, farm boy guy, because it would have been, you know, probably too much alphaness if it would have been, you know, another one of our type of personalities with, you know, Bobby and I are trying to push everyone to the extreme. And I think Mike does a great job of kind of being comic relief, but also posing the question that the audience would pose, like, guys, are we sure we really want to do this? And then Jeff is just kind of, you know, bumbling along, but it works well. I mean, his rap out by the fire to me is still one of my favorite scenes because it's so real and it's just so weird.
Yeah, one of the refreshing things about this film that I found was, again, the characters didn't fall into the normal cliches of normal found footage or even horror films in general, and it actually lent a lot up to the film and really engaged you a little bit more, and I think you guys did a great job with that. So I got a question. If you could expand on this universe after the release of this film, where would you want to see this next chapter go?
Well, I think there's a lot of things that come into play with what is the Blue Skeleton, and the fact is places like that they exist, and the fact is certain people go into they'll go get into a car with a stranger, get put in a trunk, pay them $75, and they'll drag them out to the middle of nowhere, and that's a haunt. That those things exist out there. I think it'd be really fun to explore the idea of maybe copycats, places like that that you don't ask for credentials. I mean, we've always been taught our whole life, you know, a police officer comes to the door, asks to see a badge, that kind of thing. But you don't do that when you go to a haunt. Hell, you don't even, I mean, you have no idea if they have a license to do what they do. You don't even have an idea that maybe that's the real building. So I think exploring some of that on how probably irresponsible we are in some ways with, I guess, society would really be a fun Halloween topic to kind of expand that haunt world.
And I think, too, that the majority of the haunts that we shot at are in the South, and there's a certain feel to them, you know, even though they're all original. There's just a landscape, there's set design that is very regional. And so I think it would be really fun to explore, what about going through a haunted house that's in, you know, downtown New York or, you know, out in the middle of nowhere in the woods in Minnesota or down in the swamps of Florida? I mean, think of all of these places provide a different visual stimulation, and it's in just a different style, accents, characters, all that kind of stuff, I think would be really fun to do.
Do you feel in any way that the haunted houses of today are kind of losing their luster, or is it almost like a natural progression to move into this new extreme arena that some of these underground ones are starting to pop up around?
Right, and like anything, it'll be underground until it's mainstream, and then it's boring again. I kind of always equate it to 3D. Is that 3D had its run, you know, for 5 years. Everybody's excited about it. Everybody pays a premium for it. But the honest fact is now we have a 4D movie theater in downtown Los Angeles because 3D wasn't cutting it. It wasn't cutting it anymore. They needed to feel it, taste it, touch it. That's what 4D does now. And that's how people want to experience their movies, and that's how people want to experience their haunts as well.
And so to piggyback off that, I think we're still looking for a more extreme haunt. I mean, we're going now and doing this and hitting some haunts that we hadn't seen for the movie, and we're under, you know, we're finding some things that make us feel uncomfortable, and we're going to continue to push that and search for this ultimate haunt.
Well, I wish you all the success with this film. RLJ Image Entertainment will be releasing The House Is October Built in theaters on VOD and in iTunes on Friday, October 10th. I've seen it, and I can assure you that it'll make you rethink your holiday plans this year. Bob and Zach, thanks for joining us this week, and we hope to bring you back soon to talk about future projects.
We appreciate you having us out there. And, yeah, you know, go see the movie and then go support your local haunted house. I mean, you get the chance. I think it's rare movies that you can kind of move on and do exactly what you just witnessed in a film and kind of go experience it firsthand for yourself. And I think it's a lot of fun and a perfect way to spend your Halloween.
Agree totally. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great night.